Well, this is called love is better than any other way. How many believe that? How many believe God's way? Because He is love. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 tells us that who and what God is. He's love. And His love is unconditional. Amen. God doesn't love us based on how we love Him. God doesn't look at us and love us or show His mercy or His love to us based on how we treat Him. He just is love, and it's unconditional. Aren't you glad? Amen. How about a good amen?
Amen.
This is called love is better than any other way. My God is bigger than Hillsong's. Bigger than John Bonham's drum set from the 60s when he had two gongs. Bigger than Bob Marley's dreads. Bigger than all the albums of the Talking Heads. Bigger than Bono on his best day. Bigger than Manson when he put his dress away. My God is bigger than Mylon Lefevre. Dang! I thought Crack the Sky was way clever. And though I'm still tripping on the Newsboys, God keeps revealing so many new joys. My God was worldwide way before the Stones were. They made rad tunes, but they're still clones. Durr. Seems like everybody around is truly a copy of, a resemblance of the Savior's love. And each human being has his own way of expressing how they feel today. It's the music of their desperate soul and its desire for fire and wanting to finally be whole. And that's why we need to restart and make for certain that it's only love that's in our heart, so that our message has the impact for helping people in the things they lack. Let's get back. Let's get back on track. Stop thinking slack. Say yes to bless and a big no when it comes to lack. And whether it's Fergie or the Mumford Sons or anyone else writing number ones, there's nothing bigger in the world today, and only love can make a real way. I feel like I'm in a room right now full of missionaries, rapping about life that only grace carries, dropping faith bombs in your eardrums. After tonight, we say no more crumbs. There's no reason when you're 16 to not be living out your faith's dream, to not be giving out the bling bling or watching all the other folks doing big things. I know this for certain, that it's your time to drop God's beat in your life with a new rhyme. There ain't nothing that we can't do because it's Him that's alive in you. Can you say a good amen?
Amen.
Never forget that it is He that's in you. Never forget that it's God in you. Not some other force, not some other thought, not some other power. Wherever you go, He goes. And with Him, you always make the majority. Wherever you walk, He walks. There's no fear. Anywhere you find yourself, anywhere in the world, God's not only near, He's right in you. You have the most powerful force in you. Jesus encouraged us to get it on us. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "You'll receive power after the Holy Ghost comes up and on you." Never forget where your power comes from. Your power comes from God Himself, the most ultimate creative force in the universe. As creative as we can get, God's always got better. As big as the world could come up with, God will always have better. As big a thing as you've seen, as some of these people I was talking about here, as big as the world could ever come up with, my God is bigger. He is stronger. He is faster. He is more powerful. He is more motivated. He is everything. And He is love. And His love for you is unconditional. Never forget that. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, I serve the biggest God. I was thinking last night, I was talking to Brother Jeremy Pearson's, and we were talking about different places that our that ministry has taken us. He started jogging my memory. He mentioned India. And I remember going to India years ago. It was my second time to be there. And when we showed up, we were scheduled to preach some youth meetings and some crusades and some things in different churches. Now, I remember the first time I ever got up to preach in India, I was talking about David and Goliath. How many know the story of David and Goliath? Awesome story. One of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. Because David won the battle at 14 years old against a man of war. Now, I remember telling this story, and I had a hoarse voice. I was tired. I was jet lagged. It took us 2.5 days to get there. And the first morning, they called us and said, we've got a special church service we'd like you to come minister at. And my buddies were too tired. They elected me somehow to be the preacher that morning. And I got up and just started sharing about David and Goliath and about the power of God on a young man. And this was just in an afternoon prayer meeting with a bunch of adults and some teenagers. The men were on this side, and the women were sitting on this side. And I was just talking away, just telling them about how good God was. And up on about the middle section of the women, this lady got up and started doing this funky chicken dance. It was about like this. And at first, I'm just standing up there, got my Bible, and I mean, it's my first time in India, so I don't know if this was something normal. You know, I didn't want to offend anybody. And I was like, maybe it's dance time. I don't know what's going on, but I just let it go. And she started really getting down and getting funky. And she made her way up towards the platform area. Nobody was moving. And I just stopped and I was looking. And I was looking at the ministers and they were all doing this. And all of a sudden, it was too much to continue to preach the word of God to these people because there was this crazy distraction in the room. And right when that happened, I realized this is not good. Why? Because anything that interrupts the word of God, anything that interrupts the word of God and the flow of grace in your life, that can't be good. Anything that comes to steal, kill, and destroy from the word of God in your life and the goodness of God in your life and the love of God in your life and the joy of God in your life and the peace of God in your life, anything that comes to distract away from the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Ghost in your life, that's not God. Why? Because God's good and God is steady and God is accurate and He's in you for a reason. Why don't you nudge your neighbor and say, God's got a good reason for you to be here. And I just in a second, I went from laughing, not laughing outwardly, but kind of smiling. And it was kind of, for a second, it was kind of funny. I kept looking back at my buddies and they were like, I don't know what's going on. And then it just registered. Everybody's watching this and nobody's listening about God's power on a man called David. And I stopped. Now listen, I was 20 years old. This was my first adventure to India. This was my first trip I'm talking about now. And I stopped and I said, in the name of Jesus, you stop that right now. And that lady fell on the ground and even started acting even crazier. And I said, no. And I didn't get too wild or anything. I didn't stomp on her or anything. I said, no. I said, you stop that in the name of Jesus Christ. Instantly, peace came. And just like this, just this peace came in the room and peace came on her. And her eyes rolled back, and she looked right at me. And I said, now you can go back to your seat, and we'll finish out the message. Just like that. Never forget who's in you. When distractions come your way, no matter how great they seem, whether they be mental or actually physical, you hold all the cards in every situation. Why? Because you have God on the inside of you. You have the creator of the universe on the inside of you. You might think, Joey, I've never been to India. I've never even been on the mission field. Check your neighbor. Make sure they've got a pulse. That lets me know that you're alive and you've been somewhere. Everywhere you go, as I said, God goes. But you know what? Everywhere you go, there's an assignment for you. Amen. Thank you for that's right. And somebody belched in the back row. Everywhere you go, there's an assignment on your life. Listen, you're not anywhere by accident. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not here at this youth group by accident. Why don't you turn? I've been watching T.D. Jakes for the last couple of days. Why don't you touch three people right now and tell them, get ready, get ready, get ready. Everywhere we go, we're on assignment. You're not anywhere by accident. You're not here tonight by accident. When you go home, that's not an accident. When you wake up in the morning, that's not an accident. God's got a plan for everybody. 24 hours a day. I spent most of my teenage life, I'd say a lot of my teenage life, being bored. I remember my youth pastor, he said, Joey, when you're bored, that means you're not doing something that you're supposed to be doing. I said, Kevin, how do I know what I'm supposed to do? He said, that's not my job. I'm just supposed to preach to you. But the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, he'll have plenty for you to do. You know, when I started talking to, how many tongue talkers we have in here? How many people pray in other tongues and you're not ashamed of it? Come on, lift both hands and feet if you can. Amen. I knew I was in a spirit-filled room. You've got a friend in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, and you know all things. The Holy Spirit will teach you what He knows, and He knows everything. And if He knows everything, and He's in you, that means the possibility for you to know anything at any given time is right there on the inside of you. Why? Because everywhere you go, He goes. Nudge your neighbor and say, you ain't going anywhere alone. How many want me to finish up with the lady in India? So she sat back down. And I went back to teaching in David and Goliath. 3 minutes. Turn to your neighbor, say only three.
Only three.
180 seconds went by. And another distraction. You know, the enemy hates it when you come to youth group and hear the preaching of the gospel. The enemy hates it when you take time out of your schedule to come make time like you did tonight, to come to this youth ministry and hear the Word of God. Why? Because when you hear the Word of God, you get changed. Amen. Amen. You know what else happens when you hear the Word of God? Faith comes. Romans 10:17. Let's turn there. So I at least turn to one scripture. I was told that you guys are page turners. Amen. So I want to prove I know at least where one scripture is. Where did I tell you to turn? Romans. I'm just checking. I didn't forget. Romans 10:17. What's it say, buddy? You yelled it the loudest. There's a price for being bold, but there's also a reward. Oh, man. See, he knew the reference, but you can't quote it from memory. I'm going to give you 3 seconds.
Okay. So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ.
That's it right there. How does faith come?
Hearing.
And hearing what?
By the Word of God.
How does faith come?
By hearing.
And hearing what?
By the Word of God.
The enemy hates it. He hates it when I preach the message. He hates it when you preach the message. Do you know what he hates worse than some folk preaching the message? He hates it when the people actually hear the message. He didn't say faith comes by preaching. He said faith comes by hearing. Every time you bother to show up at church, every time you hear the preaching of the gospel, you just take note of yourself and on the inside. You make a mental note, man, there's a change coming to me right now. I'm getting stronger right now. Never let a youth service go by or a church service go by or any preaching go by or any teaching go by, whether it's on the radio or on a CD or your iPad or your computer or on the television, wherever the word is being preached, even if you only catch a tail end of a sermon for 3 minutes, expect to grow, because faith comes by hearing. Now sometimes the enemy will try and twist some things and say, you ain't got time to sit down and listen to a half hour, 45 minute message right now. Let me ask you something. Do you have 5 minutes? Because God can do more in 5 minutes with your attention if you'll give it to Him. He can do more in 5 minutes of you giving him attention to his word. You'd be amazed at what God can do with your measly little 5 minutes. He can change your day, and in that day, you can change somebody's life. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is good. And it's only going to get better. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4. That's the short book of John. People ask me, they say, Joey, I'm just getting into reading my Bible. What book should I start with? I always say the shortest ones. I do the same thing with reading books. Because I never really loved to read growing up. So I found these little things called mini books. What are they? They're miniature. They're small. You know, I've read probably 100 mini books, and some of them hundreds of times. And it's wonderful. I read a mini book yesterday morning, read a mini book this morning, same one. In fact, I read two mini books. It's awesome. I love them. Why? Because you can read them. They're fast. Now, some of you are laughing, but you're the same ones that don't read anything ever. I encourage you, if you're afraid of reading or you ain't got time, get some mini books. You can be one of those wise people that walks around and goes, man, I've read 25 books this summer. Nobody needs to know they were 12 or 15 pages long. Amen. Did you find 1 John?
Yes.
I gave you plenty of time. You know what I like about this crowd? Most of you all seem happy. Amen. Amen. I like this guy. He's an amener. Ushers, get him out of here. 1 John 4. 1 John 4, 4. You are of God. We could stop right there and I'd preach better than T.D. Jakes could preach that for 2 seconds. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Overcome them what? Whatever you need to overcome. Listen, when you got God in you, like I said before, you make the majority in any situation. Listen, there's no fear for you. There may be fear in people you know about different things, but there should never and never has to be fear for you. Why? Because you're not dealing in this life by yourself. Turn to your neighbor and say, you never walk alone. Till I was 12 years old. I think I said this at the convention. If not, I should have. Until I was 12 years old, I was afraid of the dark. That's the truth. And there was nothing funny about it. Somewhere along the line in my childhood, and I don't remember exactly where, I can think of, you know, one or two different things, maybe movies I saw that I shouldn't have seen. Scary movies and horror films are never good, no matter how old you are. That's just demonic stuff. Amen. And there's no reason to invite that stuff into your life. Feed on good things. Amen. Thanks for 3 week amens. Feed on good stuff. But for whatever reason, some things had come into my mind as a young man, 6, 7, 8 years old. And I don't remember exactly when it started, but soon as those lights would shut down, soon as the lights would turn off in my room, it's like all of a sudden, a light of fear came on. Now, if you'd asked me, my parents say, Joey, what are you afraid of? I'd say, I don't know. Just, it's dark. I can't see. They'd get me a nightlight. And I don't think the nightlight made it any better, because then I'd convince myself I saw shadows. Some of you are shaking your head because you know what this is like. Now, I remember my parents. They'd sit beside my bed. And they'd pray with me. They say, now, Joey, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Joey, nothing can get you because right where you sleep, God stays awake. Joey, the Bible says you've got angels encamped round about you to keep you from all harm and danger. Nothing can get you. I'd say, yes, yeah, I know that. I know that. So they say, okay, we're going to pray, and then Man, we would sit and look at the scriptures. They'd pray for me, and I believed it. But it was like the moment those lights went off, that fear thing came on. I never did totally shake it out of my life until I was about 12 years old. He said, that's crazy. You know, I've met other young people. I've pastored 3 youth groups and pastored a church for several years. Come to find out, there was a lot of young people in my youth group that would never tell their friends. But they lived in constant fear just like that. May have not been of the dark, but some of them of the dark. But they lived in all kinds of fear of all kinds of things. And I showed them this scripture that my parents showed me. This was the scripture that came alive in me. You know, how many believe in confession here? I know this is a confession church. I was raised on confession. You know, you can confess this scripture. And if you confess it and say it, it will build a guard of faith in you. And you can do battle with it. Not only that, it'll just bring you peace. You know what my parents did? They wrote it on a little note card. And they put that right beside my bed. And they said, now here, anytime fear tries to come on you, you wake up, maybe you had a dream that wasn't so hot. Anytime fear comes upon you, I want you to look at this scripture and say, now I'm just 6 or 7 years old. For a while, it seemed like I'd kick it out. It seemed like I could sleep for a few weeks. Then all of a sudden, one night I'd wake up, have a bad dream, and all I wanted to do was run to my folks' room, the place of safety. You know, eventually, my father sat down with me and he prayed with me. He said, Joey, I want you to read this verse. This is in the daytime. This is breakfast time. He said, I want you to read this verse with me. I want us to say it together. There was something about sitting down with my dad saying this. I am of God and have overcome them because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I am of God and have overcome them, for greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. He'd say it again. I am of God and have overcome them, for greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Now he'd say, let's say it together. I am of God and have overcome them, for greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. After we said that about 10 times, all of a sudden, it was almost like a little bit of excitement started getting in me. You know what that excitement was? That was the Spirit of God alive in me, bearing witness with his word. And I said it, and we kept saying it, and I said it, you know, I said it on my way to school that day, or that Monday. And on my way to school, Tuesday. You know, I don't remember exactly when fear left, but it never came back concerning the dark. You say, that's great, Joey. Listen, this same verse and that same Holy Spirit can deliver you and keep you from any fear that ever tries to come your way. The Bible says God has not ever given you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Fear's never been of God. There is no good fear. I encourage you. I got just a few more minutes here, and I want to do something else. I encourage you. Tonight, when you go home, I dare you to get if you've got an erase marker, write it on your mirror. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Write that on your bathroom mirror. Make sure it's a dry erase, not a Sharpie. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I tell you, you can whip the fear devil every single time. Amen. Can we move on to point number 2? One other thing I wanted to drop in your heart. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, why don't you turn there with me for a minute? You like Luke 4? Jesus said this. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me or empowered me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now I said God's with you everywhere you go. But this is the God that I'm talking about. The same power that is on Jesus to heal the sick, the same power to cast out devils, the same power to take care of fear, the same power to do. I like what Brother Copeland said one time on a tape I listened to probably 1,000 times. He said that power that's on Jesus is the power to do whatever you need to do in life. That's the anointing. Everywhere you go, the anointing goes. Everywhere you go, now get this revelation for a minute. Everywhere you go and talk to somebody, there's an opportunity there to be a minister. Everywhere you go, even if it's your cousin, even if it's your own mom, there is potential there to be a minister, to minister to somebody else's needs, to remove a burden or destroy a yoke or be a blessing. Why? Because that's what the anointing does. What I'm saying is everywhere you go, you're a walking, talking blessing. You're a walking, talking miracle waiting to happen. Can you say a good amen?
Amen.
I want to grab that band up there. I want to play a little tune. Where's my guys at? Why don't we all stand up for a minute? They say, blessed is he who is short-winded, he shall preach again. I heard Jerry Savelle say that one time. It seems to have worked. I want you to bow your heads with me. We got a few minutes left. When I say I never do what we're about to do, I only do it for my wife, and that took some time to get over. But before we do that, I want to pray for you tonight. I kind of strayed from my notes, but that's pretty par for the course, I guess, for me. I write a bunch of notes, and then I just preach what's on my heart. You might be here tonight and maybe you are one that's been dealing with fear in your life. Maybe it is fear of the dark. I don't know. I know it's nothing to mess around with. But maybe you've been afraid about the future. Maybe you've been uneasy about your future. Maybe the future of this youth ministry. I don't know. Maybe your heart's unsettled about money. Maybe you're believing God for, I have no idea. I tell you, God knows. It's one thing I love about God. He knows everything. Makes life easy. You can just go to God and be honest about any old thing and He already knows. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for each and every person under the sound of my voice. Oh, Lord, let your anointing be all over them right now, I pray. Lord, minister to every heart, every mind. Lord, to every emotion, every need in the room. Lord, touch bodies right now. Father, I thank you. You are a good God. You're a merciful God. Lord, thank you for being so good to each and every person that's under the sound of my voice. Lord, if it's healing they need, I know that you're their healer. Lord, if it's encouragement they need, I know that you are their encouragement. Lord, if it's help they need, you are their helper. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that's got a bunch of questions. Lord, you are their answer. There may be somebody here tonight that's been afraid or fearful. There may be somebody tonight that feels like they've been messed up or wronged. Lord, I know that you are their right. You can make all things right. Holy Spirit, we call upon you right now. I thank you, Holy One, for being alive in this place. Lord, go home. Be all over these people. Lord, be in their dreams. Be in their sleep. Oh, Lord, talk to them and continue to talk to them. Lord, prompt them and continue to prompt them. Lord, there's people here tonight that you've been prompting, and you're waiting on their obedience. Lord, keep talking to them. Keep prompting them. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for being our comforter and our joy. Lord, I pray that you bless them. Lord, that they all go home knowing that you love them more than anything. Bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them. Lord, put money in their pocket. Put money in their parents' hands. Lord, bless them. Bless them. Overwhelm them with your goodness. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's just stay in this atmosphere. I haven't overextended my time. Clock says I got 12 minutes and I can do anything I want with that. I want to play a little tune. Can I get just a little light up here? Because I just wrote these lyrics about 10 minutes ago. Can we do this? This may be a little something, but I'm back down south. I'm from the south. How many believe everyone ought to get to worship God in the way they want to? Amen. I really believe that. I believe, you know, we're seeing all kinds of creative ideas coming out these days, and I like it. I like new stuff. I like new shoes. I like new cars. And I like new ways to worship God. Amen. And I like to have the freedom that if I think I want to worship God in a certain way, that I don't have to worry about what anyone else thinks about. I can just, you know, it was a big deal for me when I was younger to close my eyes and lift my hands. I mean, I was taught that when I was a little kid, but then when I became a teenager, it's like I was one of those dudes that just kind of, you know, he knows I love him. You know, I remember being in a youth service one night. My youth pastor just started worshiping God. He started playing his guitar and singing. And whatever was coming off of him, the funk of the Holy Ghost, got on me. And I threw both hands up in the air. And I closed my eyes. I remember going down to the front and getting on my knees and just worshiping God. And I, for the first time in a long time, maybe ever, I had no fear of what anyone thought except for what Jesus thought. That's true worship. Because it's all for Him. It's a sacrifice of your flesh. It's saying, God, I only care in this one moment. Listen, there's all kinds of time during the day that we do have to care what people think. You can't live your life and say, I don't care what the world says about anything or thinks about. Listen, the world is our target audience. We better care what they think about us as believers. We better treat them well so that they know that our way is the way, Jesus. But I tell you, when it comes to your worship, that's that one time in your life, day to day, you don't have to care what anyone thinks. Why? Because it's not for anybody else. Your witness is for everyone else. So witness good. Be bold, but witness good. Be smart on how you witness. Amen. A good witness is a love witness. A good witness is a cautious witness, taking in account how it makes people feel. Never let your witness of Jesus, I'm speaking to you by the Spirit, so you look at me. Never let your witness of Jesus be anything but compassion. I did God a lot of disservice, I think, when I was younger, because I had so much fire and passion. But I never considered to be compassionate. God gave me so many opportunities to bless, and I drove so many people away. I tell you, you can be smarter than me. The whole world is just looking for someone to love them right where they're at, just like Jesus did. Jesus loved everybody right where they're at. That's what the Holy Spirit will lead you to do. You'll be surprised at the things that He'll show you and the ways that He'll lead you.